flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Ride It Home with Rich, brought to you by Mosby Building Arts and Aqua Systems, with additional support from Seniors Home Care and the Missouri Athletic Club. And now, here's your host, Rich Orris.
All right, good Saturday afternoon, and welcome to Ride It Home with Rich. And for exactly 1 hour, I am here to help you with all your home's needs, whether it's remodeling projects, DIY projects, any issues you may be having around the home, any thoughts or concerns you may want to discuss about remodeling projects or the remodeling industry altogether. I am here for 1 hour today, so give me a call. We can talk about any of these topics with you. 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797. So got a lot planned, a lot in store for you today. Want to talk about some DIY project types, big, small, everything in between. We've got maybe some fireplace designs. Removing load-bearing walls is always a really good common question and topic we have going on. Painting concrete will be a big part of the show, and maybe some outdoor living spaces if we get to that also. But I really want to hear from you, and we can talk about any of these topics with you or anything going on around your home. One more time, call in, get in on the conversation, 314-241-9797. And of course, halfway through the show, my hack today is about that painting concrete topic. So there is absolutely more to that than you may think. So stay tuned for that. We may just stop you guys from making some mistakes during your next concrete painting projects. So, but my goal today here is to help everybody, help your home, help your life. Everything about you today with me. One last time, you can give me a call and get your advice, 314-241-9797. And you know, kind of starting off, I want to explain, you know, there's a lot of this kind of phone stuff, video chat stuff, you know, with the COVID, with everything going on. A lot more is actually like this show now. It's more, you know, call, talk, try and figure things out up front. So this, you know, this past week, I actually started having some headaches and some pain on the left side of my head. And I started, you know, calling my doctor one afternoon, and they got a nurse on the line, asked some questions. They got the nurse practitioner. We kind of talked, we kind of described and talked about what exactly was happening, figured out what was going on, and they got me some medication and everything prescribed, did it all in conversations right there over the phone, just like we can do for you today with your house. Call in, we talk about it, I'll ask some questions back, try and see if we can diagnose and maybe give you some, you know, really good advice on anything going on with your home or any projects or anything you're thinking about taking on or going through and doing. And, you know, speaking of taking on projects and doing things yourself, kind of the do-it-yourself type projects and stuff, you know, Zillow, I just read an article that Zillow put out that was really pretty interesting. You know, they were kind of talking about, you know, people stuck in their homes, of course, trying to get into a lot of these projects and just trying to get over being caught up in your home and getting some improvements done. So not only are we very busy as companies remodeling and things like that because of that, but a lot of DIY projects going on. And they were kind of analyzing the size and you know, what type of projects, you know, are good for people to take on, you know, whether small, big, or anything in between. So, and some of the things they looked into, you know, and kind of like many homeowners out there, you know, you've been thinking about these improvement projects. You try and get them going, but you kind of come up short. And where most people come up short is on the time and then the inspiration to kind of figure it out. But, you know, don't feel bad. Of the interviews that they did, about 43% of homeowners said their biggest challenge around their home improvement is finding the time to actually get to it, get the decisions made, and get it all accomplished. It's just hard to have the time to get through everything. So, and a lot of them all agreed that, yes, they have all these unfinished projects around their home that they're trying to get to and try and get done and everything. So there's all these different size projects that you can, you know, look at doing to improve your home. And there's some small ones and there's some big ones and everything that we can get into, kind of advising, not, you know, what could you do the simple, try not to get over your head, all of that. But so right now I want to kind of pause here because we've got Mark on the line. He has a question about sealing some bricks. So Anton, can we get Mark on the line, see what he's got going on? Are you with us, Mark?
Yes, I am.
Hey, thanks for calling in. What do you got? What do you got going on?
Well, everywhere you see on TV shows, everybody is exposing brick on the interior chimneys and stuff. And I would like to do that. One of my concerns is, you know, that's a kind of a porous surface, and it's kind of a dirty surface and rough. And, I mean, is there something you put on that to seal it so that when you go to clean it, you know, you're not just making a big mess or just wiping the dust around and not really cleaning it? I see it a lot of times in kitchens, and I'm thinking,
oh, yeah,
you know, kitchen grease and stuff. So how do you, what do you seal that brick with just so that you can clean it from time to time and even just dust the cobwebs off and stuff?
Sure, absolutely. So as far as getting it exposed and cleaning it up and, you know, controlling that dust and stuff, that's going to be a whole nother job in itself, and there's not going to be too much you can do for that initial phase of exposing the brick. But yes, once you have it exposed, there are sealers out there that you can put on that brick. And, you know, what I would recommend is they make sealers that are more of like a silicone base, like a silicone type of product. Basically, it means you don't see them. It actually gets it wet, soaks into the pores of the mortar and the brick, and then it kind of protects. So you still might get a little bit of fine dust and stuff on the surface, but your pores are kind of filled up, so you won't get a lot of it coming through from the inside, and that will definitely help, you know, clean that up as it remains exposed in your house and keep it nice and, you know, everything for you as it remains exposed in your house. The other type of sealer they're going to have for it, and, you know, might be a little bit better if it's like right behind your range or something like that, is more of a surface coat sealer, kind of like a roll-on, paint-on, brush-on type sealer. That sealer you're going to see, and it's going to show like a sheen. It doesn't look as nice because you kind of know it's there, and it makes it kind of shiny, but might be a little bit better for grease and things like that right behind a range. If the kitchen's, if the exposed wall's on the side or the back of the kitchen away from the actual cooking surface, then I would just consider sticking with that soak-in, you know, pore-filling kind of silicone sealant to just help keep that brick clean and everything for you. So
And we, you know, the chimney then goes on up through the roof and attic and then outside, so you don't have to worry about, like, maybe moisture traveling down the brick and stuff if everything is sealed up pretty good outside and all.
You do have to worry about that moisture, but if everything's sealed up, you basically use that same sealer on the outside too to keep that moisture and that water from soaking in and running down. And you want to make sure your chimney cap, all that masonry stuff outside, is in good shape to keep that water out of it, or else you'll start seeing that white film we call efflorescence kind of coming through that brick on the interior. So seal it inside to keep it clean, seal it outside to keep that water and moisture and everything out of there. So I really appreciate the call, Mark. Excellent question. We got to get to our first break here, but I'll get into some more of those DIY projects when we return, and we'll take some more of your calls when we return. So we'll be right back. All right, we are back and having a great time here. Got a great question from Mark about the brick, about, you know, sealing that exposed brick. You know, what should you do to that inside your home? And, you know, another thing that can be done that really to kind of help with that dust issue and all that, but and soften the look of that brick, if you've got that, you know, deep dark red or red and orange brick, and there's, you can whitewash paint that brick. There's something called lime washing where it kind of just, it doesn't take all the color of the brick away, but it will, you know, mix it in, blend it in, get some whites in there with it, and really just kind of soften it so it's not such a hard, you know, dark color for you. But like that whitewashing too would kind of help keep some of that dust and stuff inside of that brick and not let a lot of that out, because brick, masonry, concrete, all that literally produces dust with it. Open basements, everything there, you know, just it all produces dust. So there's ways like that that excuse me, you can, you know, help control that, and this could actually help with the look of the home and everything too, and, you know, in doing that at the same time. And you know, maybe this is the type of project that, you know, you feel good enough yourself in going into and saying, you know, read about it, learn about it, you know, try some sample stuff, and maybe it's something that you feel like you could actually, you know, tackle yourself in thinking of all these different, you know, types of projects, size projects, you know, what projects are really good for you in order to, you know, what can you do, what can't you do, and what can really help improve the house and help the value of the home and everything. And, you know, there's down to simply, you know, some when we look at like beginner type projects, you know, get into something really simple, but has a pretty good impact. And that, you know, the fixtures around your home, you know, new faucets, getting into, you know, replacing the kitchen faucet, the bathroom faucets, getting something, you know, a bit more stylish and a bit more dramatic in there to really, you know, it can have such an effect on the look of the rest of the home. Light fixtures and switches are absolutely the same way, you know, changing out your light fixtures. This is something that, you know, is on that, you know, Zillow in that article kind of had it on that beginner's list of, you know, some of the more simple things to do. And it is amazing what, you know, just the switches when you change to a Decora style, a better looking, put dimmers in so you can control the light a little bit better, all of that, it really can make a dramatic difference, you know, inside the house for you and everything. So smart technology upgrades they have, you know, on that beginner's list also. So when you look at the cameras, the smart doorbell camera, you know, light switches, controlling the lights, Wi-Fi devices, things like that, that's a good beginner learn, but it's a big improvement, you know, to your house. So, you know, smart locks, having a home hub, like the Amazon, Google, things like that, Nest, things that actually control things in your house. You can control those, you know, thermostats and smart lights and, you know, all sorts of stuff like that. And it really is a good improvement into the value, you know, of that home. So when they kind of started looking at the list of, now let's, you know, get into some intermediate projects, some kind of middle of the road on hard and skill level set. So I was a little bit surprised that, you know, they did have on the list cabinet refresh, updating the kitchen. Now this is, I might personally move that more to a little bit harder level myself for, you know, DIY people that haven't really done anything, but it is on the list of, you know, changing your door and drawer pulls isn't too hard. Painting your cabinets, that too there, I mean, that's a process, and I warn everybody with wood cabinets, you know, it is a bigger job than you think. So really look into it before you take that on yourself. But it can make a very dramatic difference in your home. So another thing on that intermediate list is barn doors. So, you know, switching out a traditional door to a barn door style, it is really a magnificent look. People really, really love it. It will draw a big improvement in the house and, you know, later on down the road for, you know, that's a great return on investment piece there on what you put out for that, especially if you have the ability, you know, to do that yourself where you're only, you know, paying for the materials. It's a really, really, you know, good look. And kind of looking at, you know, sticking in that style, but getting into some more little advanced projects, you know, look at like board and batten stuff inside the house or inside that room, you know, reclaimed wood walls, doing beadboard on the ceiling, you know, things like that can really go with that barn door style and really just make a huge improvement on, you know, what you're tackling around the house and, you know, the value and what people would love to see in there. A garden shed was on that list. And that, you know, kind of like building a small little house. Yeah, I could see why that's, you know, up there in a little bit more, you know, of an advanced project. And another one they had on there that, definitely, I would say, is on that advanced list. And I'd love to, you know, hear from anybody that's maybe tried this out themselves, but heated floors, you know, so putting in your own floors and everything, well, adding that heat to your bathroom floor, you know, with that, you can buy those kits, they can make them to the room size, and heated floors make a dramatic improvement, you know, to the overall home. And, you know, people really, that's a great return on investment, and it's definitely, I could see why it's 100% on that advanced list for sure. So if you've done anything like this, tried anything like this, if these things are on your list, if you have any questions about anything like this, we got half the show left. Feel free to get in on it with me. Give me a shout, 314-241-9797. Love to hear from you. We'll have my hack and much more to come when we return.
It's now time for Rich's Right at Home Hack.
All right, so here we go. Right at Home Hack. So I was talking to a client of mine last week, and they were asking about painting an epoxy coating on their garage floor. And after talking about it a little bit and really talking about the prep work and what it takes to prepare the concrete and what you really got to go through and do to really make that, you know, be installed well and have a lot of lasting value out of it, I thought, you know, what a perfect topic to share with all my loyal listeners, because this is definitely, you know, a big DIY thing, and there's a lot to be said with this stuff, you know, peeling up later. And I get a lot of those questions like, why isn't this, you know, sticking down? Why is this peeling up? So there's so much into it. So when you're looking into painting your concrete floor or doing the epoxy coating on your garage floor, one of the first things you really got to think about is your concrete sealed? Is there any type of sealer on it? So that sealer can actually make that paint not adhere properly. So, you know, to look at that, drip some small amounts of water in different various locations around the floor and just see if it beads up. If it does, you've probably got a sealer on there, and this, you know, paint might not stick really well to that. So if you've got any type of paint on there already, you know, anything that's not bonded well previously, if you're going over top of it, it has to go away. Everything is absolutely as good as its base. Another thing to think about, and another reason these things happen, is moisture content in the concrete. So do you have any? Is it turning to moisture vapor and coming through and you just don't know? So the way to find that out is to take like a 2-foot by 2-foot plastic sheet, tape that down all four edges to the garage floor, leave it there for about 24 hours and see if any water droplets appear on the backside of that plastic. And if it does, you've got some pretty good moisture vapor coming through that concrete. So the other thing you're looking for is, you know, that concrete dust we were just talking about, loose or poorly cured concrete or concrete dust. You really need to clean up and get rid of that stuff well, because that dust will make that paint not stick very well and chip up and peel up later. So your steps in getting it done: remove any oil or grease spots on the floor. Not very easy to do on concrete when you've had dripping oil. I'm sure you've all tried it and you're like, I just can't hardly get that out. So that is not an easy task. Then you got to kind of clean and etch that concrete with some acid to really roughen that up, and not real rough, but just enough for that paint, you know, to really, really stick. Once you've been through all of that, then you can look at now what type of product are you putting on. Are you doing like a prime and paint, or are you doing the epoxy floor systems that you can purchase and put on there? And the big recommendation is, whatever you're doing, take all the steps, do them thoroughly, read the instructions thoroughly, do everything that they're saying to try and get good lasting value out of that product. So it's really more important what you do beforehand and what that base is like than really what you put on top of it sometimes. So hopefully that will help you out on your next project of getting that garage floor painted and looking nice for your vehicles and your garages in there. So, and you know, kind of getting a little more depth into that concrete, you know, when we get asked all these questions and, you know, we're constantly seeing these concrete paint jobs, you know, coming up and having issues and getting asked about it. And it really is, you know, it happens so much. It's whenever you have these issues, I always ask, you know, who did it? And it's either, well, it was there before, so I don't know. Or, yeah, it was a DIY project. We tried to tackle ourselves. And if you don't have the time to really get in there and really take your time and do it well, you know, I would really highly recommend that, you know, get some professionals to do this right and get it in a really good way that will really, you know, last for you. So when we look at, you know, the list of when it is peeling, why is it peeling? What went wrong? You know, what happens to it? Well, that, you know, a poor surface profile is one of the biggest ones. And basically that's, what is the concrete like? What is that top layer of concrete like? Is it set up well? Is it, you know, if it has a lot of little fine hair cracks and stuff in it, you know, it may not be a really, really good surface. And, you know, so how that surface is done before this epoxy stuff goes on is just so vital. So sometimes you might even get into grinding instead of etching to really get, you know, a good surface that you can paint, you know, on and get that to stick really, really well. The second thing, as always, is moisture. Moisture is always the biggest thing, you know, coming through, whether it's concrete walls, concrete floors, block walls. Everybody's, you know, trying to put that on and hold moisture back, and they buy the dry lock paint and things like that. But if you're not secured underneath, if you don't have the right surface, it's not going to matter. You know, you have too much moisture in there. It's just, it's not going to work as well as if, you know, it was set up well in advance. So the oil and contaminants is a big thing. And, you know, another big DIY kind of mishap with doing this yourself is the acid etching residue being left on the surface and not understanding how well to clean this floor up once you've done the acid etching. And if there's a kind of calcium build up underneath there from the etching and it leaves a film there, you're going to have that stuff peeling up later. There's almost absolutely, you know, no question that, and that's another, you know, big mistake. And then, you know, not knowing if your concrete is sealed or not is another big, you know, kind of reason that those things kind of go bad, you know, in the future. So, and of course, a soft concrete surface could be another reason that, you know, it's really just not bonding well. It's just too soft of a surface way, you know, and it's just not going to bond real well to it. So these are a lot of the reasons. So again, that big, you know, tip at the end would be to really go through, number one is get a good garage floor kit. The cheaper ones are probably not going to work as well. Read into them, read the reviews, you know, check into all that stuff, because sometimes getting into those cheaper kits and everything could be another reason that, you know, it's just not lasting in the end. It may not be as good as some of them out there. So, you know, the big mistakes happening when people do this is not preparing that floor properly, you know, not taking all the steps and not doing that, you know, not testing for that moisture. Really find out if you get a lot of moisture, man, it might be time to look around the outside of the garage and really say, okay, why am I getting so much moisture? How's the grading? How's the landscaping? How's the actual driveway? Is it sloping the right way? Are the gutters going, you know, 10 feet or more away from the house? We see a lot of them where they end right at the corner of the garage onto the driveway, and it's just dumping right in between the slabs of the driveway and the garage and just running down. And now you've got all this water from the roof, you know, getting underneath that garage slab. So look, testing for the moisture, but then looking for why is it there? And what can I do about it? Is there something, you know, that can really help out? Another big thing is follow those instructions, you know, faulty mixing of that epoxy, not getting it done right, taking the time that it needs.
It's now time for Rich's Right at Home Hack.
All right, so here we go. Right at Home Hack. So I was talking to a client of mine last week, and they were asking about painting an epoxy coating on their garage floor. And after talking about it a little bit and really talking about the prep work and what it takes to prepare the concrete and what you really got to go through and do to really make that, you know, be installed well and have a lot of lasting value out of it, I thought, you know, what a perfect topic to share with all my loyal listeners, because this is definitely, you know, a big DIY thing. And there's a lot to be said with this stuff, you know, peeling up later. And I get a lot of those questions like, why isn't this, you know, sticking down? Why is this peeling up? So there's so much into it. So when you're looking into painting your concrete floor or doing the epoxy coating on your garage floor, one of the first things you really got to think about is your concrete sealed? Is there any type of sealer on it? So that sealer can actually make that paint not adhere properly. So, you know, to look at that, drip some small amounts of water in different various locations around the floor and just see if it beads up. If it does, you've probably got a sealer on there, and this, you know, paint might not stick really well to that. So if you've got any type of paint on there already, you know, anything that's not bonded well previously, if you're going over top of it, it has to go away. Everything is absolutely as good as its base. Another thing to think about, and another reason these things happen, is moisture content in the concrete. So do you have any? Is it turning to moisture vapor and coming through and you just don't know? So the way to find that out is to take like a 2-foot by 2-foot plastic sheet, tape that down all four edges to the garage floor, leave it there for about 24 hours and see if any water droplets appear on the backside of that plastic. And if it does, you've got some pretty good moisture vapor coming through that concrete. So the other thing you're looking for is, you know, that concrete dust we were just talking about, loose or poorly cured concrete or concrete dust. You really need to clean up and get rid of that stuff well, because that dust will make that paint not stick very well and chip up and peel up later. So your steps in getting it done: remove any oil or grease spots on the floor. Not very easy to do on concrete when you've had dripping oil. I'm sure you've all tried it and you're like, I just can't hardly get that out. So that is not an easy task. Then you got to kind of clean and etch that concrete with some acid to really roughen that up, and not real rough, but just enough for that paint, you know, to really, really stick. Once you've been through all of that, then you can look at now what type of product are you putting on. Are you doing like a prime and paint, or are you doing the epoxy floor systems that you can purchase and put on there? And the big recommendation is whatever you're doing, take all the steps, do them thoroughly, read the instructions thoroughly, do everything that they're saying to try and get good lasting value out of that product. So it's really more important what you do beforehand and what that base is like than really what you put on top of it sometimes. So hopefully that will help you out on your next project of getting that garage floor painted and looking nice for your vehicles and your garages in there. So, and you know, kind of getting a little more depth into that concrete, you know, when we get asked all these questions and, you know, we're constantly seeing these concrete paint jobs, you know, coming up and having issues and getting asked about it. And it really is, you know, it happens so much. It's whenever you have these issues, I always ask, you know, who did it? And it's either, well, it was there before, so I don't know. Or, yeah, it was a DIY project we tried to tackle ourselves. And if you don't have the time to really get in there and really take your time and do it well, you know, I would really highly recommend that, you know, get some professionals to do this right and get it in a really good way that will really, you know, last for you. So when we look at, you know, the list of when it is peeling, why is it peeling, what went wrong, you know, what happens to it? Well, that, you know, a poor surface profile is one of the biggest ones. And basically that's, what is the concrete like? What is that top layer of concrete like? Is it set up well? Is it, you know, if it has a lot of little fine hair cracks and stuff in it, you know, it may not be a really, really good surface. And, you know, so how that surface is done before this epoxy stuff goes on is just so vital. So sometimes you might even get into grinding instead of etching to really get, you know, a good surface that you can paint, you know, on and get that to stick really, really well. The second thing, as always, is moisture. Moisture is always the biggest thing, you know, coming through, whether it's concrete walls, concrete floors, block walls. Everybody's, you know, trying to put that on and hold moisture back, and they buy the dry lock paint and things like that. But if you're not secured underneath, if you don't have the right surface, it's not going to matter. You know, you have too much moisture in there, it's just, it's not going to work as well as if, you know, it was set up well in advance. So the oil and contaminants is a big thing. And, you know, another big DIY kind of mishap with doing this yourself is the acid etching residue being left on the surface and not understanding how well to clean this floor up once you've done the acid etching. And if there's a kind of calcium build up underneath there from the etching and it leaves a film there, you're going to have that stuff peeling up later. There's almost absolutely, you know, no question that, and that's another, you know, big mistake. And then, you know, not knowing if your concrete is sealed or not is another big, you know, kind of reason that those things kind of go bad, you know, in the future. So, and of course, a soft concrete surface could be another reason that, you know, it's really just not bonding well. It's just too soft of a surface way, you know, and it's just not going to bond real well to it. So these are a lot of the reasons. So again, that big, you know, tip at the end would be to really go through, get a good garage floor kit. The cheaper ones are probably not going to work as well. Read into them, read the reviews, you know, check into all that stuff, because sometimes getting into those cheaper kits and everything could be another reason that, you know, it's just not lasting in the end. It may not be as good as some of them out there. So, you know, the big mistakes happening when people do this is not preparing that floor properly, you know, not taking all the steps and not doing that, you know, not testing for that moisture. Really find out if you get a lot of moisture, man, it might be time to look around the outside of the garage and really say, okay, why am I getting so much moisture? How's the grading? How's the landscaping? How's the actual driveway? Is it sloping the right way? Are the gutters going, you know, 10 feet or more away from the house? We see a lot of them where they end right at the corner of the garage onto the driveway, and it's just dumping right in between the slabs of the driveway and the garage and just running down. And now you've got all this water from the roof, you know, getting underneath that garage slab. So look, testing for the moisture, but then looking for why is it there? And what can I do about it? Is there something, you know, that can really help out? Another big thing is follow those instructions, you know, faulty mixing of that epoxy, not getting it done right, taking the time that it needs and really mixing well, or maybe not buying the mixers that connect to your drill that can really mix it up properly or something like that could be another reason that that stuff just kind of, you know, starts going bad later on. And then when do you do this? What's the humidity like? What's the temperature like? You want to really read up on that and make sure you get it done at an adequate time. You don't want to be, you know, raining outside or something. Or if you did, you got to try and control that humidity as you do it, or let it set up longer, you know, things like that. So there can be a lot that really goes into this to get this right. And I would invite everybody, call the professionals. We do everything big and small and everything in between. Obviously, we'll do this for this client. We have our own painting division. We have our own people. They're all employees of Mosby Building Arts. So I do invite everybody for all these tasks, huge, big remodels, you know, small things, fixing things, anything you need done, feel free to give us a call and check out Mosby Building Arts, 314-909-1800, or you can find us online at callmosby.com, callmosby.com, and check it all out. So we're going to get into our final break here. And right before we go, I just want to remind everybody, we got time for one last call in there. So if you have anything on your mind, give me a shout, 314-241-9797, and we'll get to you when we return. All right, we are back. And man, this is like every time, my favorite hour of the week goes by so fast. Love being able to help everybody out. Love getting good information out there. So we have Joan on the line, has another painting question for us. So Joan, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Thanks for calling in. What are you thinking about?
Well, I downsized and I bought this older home, and it does have a nice patio in the backyard that goes right up to the house. And the house has a pretty large bit of concrete before the brick. And when we sit outside there, we're looking at the concrete, but there's also a huge black. Like, I guess they taped a big crack, and it's kind of weeded, kind of a weave, and it wraps around. So I guess they, you know, they fixed the big crack. But that's
okay.
Black, kind of a black tape. You probably know what I'm talking about, but I don't really know.
Yeah, is it about a 10 inches wide or a foot wide maybe?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
I got you.
wraps around kind of to the door and to the walk down. And so I want to paint that and all along there, the concrete, and to spruce it up. And we wanted to match the concrete that's there. I didn't know we should prep it, or when I turned you on and I just thought I could go to Home Depot and they would tell me what paint to buy. But I just thought, while I was listening and thinking, well, I'm just going to ask you.
Yes, no, absolutely, because getting that paint to stick, so the crack that you're talking about, mm-hmm. that has been repaired, that's a carbon fiber epoxy coating, so that okay. is, that's a good thing on there. It's kind of like if you put a Band-Aid over your knuckle when your finger's straight and then you try and bend your finger, it really won't bend very well because the tape, you know, that Band-Aid, the tape's kind of holding it. And that's kind of what that repair does, is it really epoxies very well. And when they do that, they usually grind that area a little bit with like a diamond grinder, so they really get that surface good and rough. So that it really, that epoxy sticks very, very well. So that's a pretty good way to hold that. So as far as painting, you can paint over that. You can paint over the rest of the concrete. Obviously, you'll still see that it's there, but it'll just be a different color. I would take all those steps that we were talking about to just check into that concrete and clean that concrete up. So, you know, first put some water on there, put like some droplets and see if it soaks in right away or if that droplet kind of sits there like a water droplet. And if it does, it means you've got a really, really good sealer on it and it's probably going to be, you know, difficult to get paint to stick to that. You might want to do like a stripper first, almost like stripping off the gloss, you know, off of a cabinet door before you paint it, like a paint type of stripper system first.
Okay.
To try and get most of that sealer out of there. And then outside, I mean, the testing for moisture, if moisture happens, it's just going to happen. You really just want to try and make sure that it's sloping the right way and that water's going the right direction. And, you know, because you are outside, so testing for the moisture really isn't going to be, you know, super helpful because you're pretty much there and you're pretty much outside. So you might just have to battle that. But making sure it's not sealed, where it'll stick well, just making sure it's cleaned up, that there's, you know, isn't any discoloration, stuff like that, you know, really well, in doing like the etching or something before you paint. There's like the acid wash kind of, you know, it roughens the surface a little bit is what it does. And it's like a very little bit, like an etch. You won't even be able to tell it did it, but it will do it. And then cleaning that etching off really good so you don't leave any residue behind, you know, then you'll be ready to really put that paint on, you know, whatever the paint surface they recommend on top of that. Then I would just go real heavily into follow the instructions of that paint, you know, of what they give you, whether it's a mixed epoxy or if it is a paint, you might want a primer, you know, underneath it. So ask them about that on the different types of, you know, concrete paint out there. But you're looking for, if you're painting, you're looking for like a good, it's called elastomeric type paint. And they should know when you're talking about painting concrete, getting you into something like that, you know, to paint it up. But that, you know, everything we do is as good as that base. So the better you get that concrete underneath, the better off you'll be and the longer that paint will last on that concrete for you. So,
And that
theory applies to everything, roofs, siding, you know, all that stuff. All the time. So, all right. Sound good?
Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. Thanks for calling and good luck in getting that painted. And I hope the steps work and it lasts a really long time for you. So,
Thanks for the information.
Yeah. No problem whatsoever. Bye. That's, you know, it's so important when we look at anything, almost anything in construction, you know, even, you know, roofing, you know, I talk all the time about the siding and what do you do underneath? How do you wrap it? How do you flash it? What are some of the newer products? Are they as good, you know, really as, some of the older systems that really keep the water out, stuff like that, you know, roofs on top of roofs, it just shortens that life system of that new roof you're putting on. So always think about the base that's underneath what you're about to do when you perform work like this and when you're thinking about doing a project like this. And again, I would definitely invite anybody, have us out, have me out, look at some of these projects for you. I think you'll really, really enjoy and like what we do, like the experience and the information, you know, that you're given. So feel free to give us a look up at Mosby. You can check us out on our website at callmosby.com. When you're there, you can go on and you can, you know, set up appointments and chat with people and get things set up that way. So you can do it at your convenience, at the middle of the night, whatever you need. Or just call our line, 314-909-1800, and get something set up for you. And we do everything for you. So I would definitely say include us in that and check us out. You won't be disappointed. So for everybody else out there, had a great time. Appreciate the couple calls. And I will look at talking to everybody next week. Have a good week, everyone. All right, we are back. And man, this is like every time, my favorite hour of the week, goes by so fast. Love being able to help everybody out. Love getting good information out there. So we have Joan on the line, has another painting question for us. So Joan, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Thanks for calling in. What are you thinking about?
Well, I downsized and I bought this older home, and it does have a nice patio in the backyard that goes right up to the house, and the house has a pretty large bit of concrete before the brick. And when we sit outside there, we're looking at the concrete, but there's also a huge black, like I guess they taped a big crack, and it's kind of weeded, kind of a weave, and it wraps around. So I guess they fixed the big crack. But that's
okay.
Black, kind of a black tape. You probably know what I'm talking about, but I don't really know.
Yeah, is it about 10 inches wide or a foot wide, maybe?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
I got you.
And wraps around kind of to the door and to the walk down. And so I want to paint that and all along there, the concrete, and to spruce it up. And we wanted to match the concrete that's there. Just I didn't know if there was, we should prepped it, or when I turned you on and I just thought I could go to Home Depot and they would tell me what paint to buy, but I just thought, well, I was listening and thinking, well, I'm just going to ask you.
Yes, no, absolutely, because getting that paint to stick, so the crack that you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
that has been repaired, that's a carbon fiber epoxy coating, so that
okay.
is... That's a good thing on there. It's kind of like if you put a Band-Aid over your knuckle when your finger's straight and then you try and bend your finger, it really won't bend very well because the tape, you know, that Band-Aid, the tape's kind of holding it. And that's kind of what that repair does, is it really epoxies very well. And when they do that, they usually grind that area a little bit with like a diamond grinder, so they really get that surface good and rough, so mm-hmm. that it really, that epoxy sticks very, very well. So that's a pretty good way to hold that. So as far as painting, you can paint over that, and you can paint over the rest of the concrete. Obviously, you'll still see that it's there, but it'll just be a different color. I would take all those steps that we were talking about to just check into that concrete and clean that concrete up. So, you know, first put some water on there, put like some droplets and see if it soaks in right away, or if that droplet kind of sits there like a water droplet. And if it does, it means you've got a really, really good sealer on it, and it's probably going to be, you know, difficult to get paint to stick to that. You might want to do like a stripper first, almost like stripping off the gloss, you know, off of a cabinet door before you paint it, like a paint type of stripper system first.
Okay.
To try and get most of that sealer out of there. And then outside, I mean, the testing for moisture, if moisture happens, it's just going to happen. You really just want to try and make sure that it's sloping the right way and that water's going the right direction. And, you know, because you are outside, so testing for the moisture really isn't going to be, you know, super helpful because you're pretty much there and you're pretty much outside. So you might just have to battle that. But making sure it's not sealed where it'll stick well, just making sure it's cleaned up, that there's, you know, isn't any discoloration, stuff like that, you know, really well, in doing like the etching or something before you paint. There's like the acid wash kind of, you know, it roughens the surface a little bit is what it does. And it's like a very little bit, like an etch. You won't even be able to tell it did it, but it will do it. And then cleaning that etching off really good so you don't leave any residue behind, you know, then you'll be ready to really put that paint on, you know, whatever the paint surface they recommend on top of that. Then I would just go real heavily into follow the instructions of that paint, you know, of what they give you, whether it's a mixed epoxy or if it is a paint, you might want a primer, you know, underneath it. So ask them about that on the different types of, you know, concrete paint out there. But you're looking for, if you're painting, you're looking for like a good, it's called elastomeric type paint. And they should know when you're talking about painting concrete, getting you into something like that, you know, to paint it up. But that, you know, everything we do is as good as that base. So the better you get that concrete underneath, the better off you'll be and the longer that paint will last on that concrete for you. So,
theory
applies to everything, roofs, siding, you know, all that stuff. All the time. So, all right. Sound good?
Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. Thanks for calling and good luck in getting that painted. And I hope the steps work and it lasts a really long time for you. So,
thanks for the information.
Yeah. No problem whatsoever. Bye. That's, you know, it's so important when we look at anything, almost anything in construction, you know, even, you know, roofing, you know, I talk all the time about the siding and what do you do underneath? How do you wrap it? How do you flash it? What are some of the newer products? Are they as good, you know, really as, some of the older systems that really keep the water out, stuff like that, you know, roofs on top of roofs, it just shortens that life system of that new roof you're putting on. So always think about the base that's underneath what you're about to do when you perform work like this and when you're thinking about doing a project like this. And again, I would definitely invite anybody, have us out, have me out, look at some of these projects for you. I think you'll really, really enjoy and like what we do, like the experience and the information, you know, that you're given. So feel free to give us a look up at Mosby. You can check us out on our website at callmosby.com. When you're there, you can go on and you can, you know, set up appointments and chat with people and get things set up that way so you can do it at your convenience, at the middle of the night, whatever you need. Or just call our line, 314-909-1800, and get something set up for you. And we do everything for you. So I would definitely say include us in that and check us out. You won't be disappointed. So for everybody else out there, had a great time. Appreciate the couple calls. And I will look at talking to everybody next week. Have a good week, everyone.